This is DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. Guys, a couple of weeks ago, I was driving down the highway on my way between Sherbrooke and home, and as usual, the radio was blaring, and on came this song, and I had this almost like a, well, it's very dangerous behind the wheel, but a bit of an out-of-body rock and roll experience. Thank goodness I still had my hands on the wheel, and I was determined to make it safely home, but music has always moved me big time, as any of you listeners who've been around for the last couple of years with DH Radio here at CJMQ know. And but this track, just every once in a while, there's a song that comes along that you want to know the words to. You want to be able to sing along the first time you hear it. And that was the case for me with John Riley's single, Building Avalon. On the phone with me now from England is Mr. John Riley himself. Welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you very much. Big distance.
Just across the pond. A lot of our families have made that that trip permanently, but over the years. Now, you worked as and performed as frontman with Boy on a Dolphin, a project as a band, mm-hmm. and now you've moved on into this business of working solo. You've been, from what I understand, there was about an 18-month process of working with Louis Nitikman, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. And one of the things that has resulted is this single, Building Avalon. Tell me about the process from going to working in a band to crafting your music in this new way and coming towards your the upcoming release of your album Zebulon.
Well, I've always been sort of part of it, you know, the whole band makeup, and you know, there's a certain comfort in that, I suppose, when you're surrounded by you know, a drummer, a bass player, and another guitarist, and you know, you feel part of a team. But my writing's always been sort of pretty personal, really. So you know, when I write lyrics, I don't collaborate with anyone. So even in the band situation, I always felt sort of like I was singing my own song in a way, but the Boy and a Dolphin thing, you know, it'll continue. You know, you can't do two things at once. And I felt like I was getting to a stage where I was writing some songs that were really, I knew were moving people, and I was getting out there and just doing the odd song on my own. And I'd written with Louis Nitikman quite a long time ago, really, on a fantastic trip that a publishing company called me here in the UK and said, will you fly out to the US and write with 7 different writers over a 2-week period and try and come up with a song with each of them. And it was mainly on the West Coast, and then they actually decided it would start up in Vancouver. And the first person I met was Louis Nitikman, so I started writing with him. And the songs I've sort of written with him, I sort of sidelined for a solo project, as well as the songs I've been writing on my own. And you know, now's the time. You know, I've been going out there and playing the songs alone, and Louis is doing some shows with me. And I think now's the time to get these songs out there, because I know there are quite a few people excited about them that listen to them live. And And Building Avalon is the first single that's going out on the airwaves, certainly in Canada.
It's just hit so hard. It's you know, there are songs and then there are anthems, and that's mm-hmm. this just has that anthem ring to it. It's powerful, and you sing with a certain kind of assuredness. That comes across in this track. Tell me about the writing this song in particular, and what the drive behind it is, because there is some. It's a powerhouse of a track.
There's a lot, quite a bit of sort of anger and defiance in this song, but not in a sort of, you know, sort of screaming rock way. It's you know, this business, the whole music business. You can meet a lot of people who talk big, you know, they talk but they don't do the walk, and there are a lot of disappointments along the way, you know, not, I don't mean just for me, but I'm talking, you know, from another, other musician's point of, sure. point of view as well. And this is a song about strength, really, and saying, you know, I'm going to build my own fortress, and, you know, if you want to come and take me on, then, you know, come and get some.
Come and get some. I love that line. You know? There's that little pause, and then...
Yeah, so it's a, you know, it's a song that kind of gives me strength, and hopefully will give other people in similar situations in different walks of life, you know, that strength that, you know, I can do this on my own, you know, and I don't have to rely on other people to make things happen for me.
Now, you collaborated with Lewis in Vancouver, and now currently he is there with you, I believe.
That's correct. Yeah.
And what is with the transition about working initially together in Vancouver and now him being over in England with you?
Well, he actually he moved from Vancouver over to Toronto, so I went over there and we did some writing together, and then I said, you know, do you fancy coming over to the UK and we'll do a bit of writing here. And at the same time, I was musical director for a big charity show that had Def Leppard and Paul Carrack and John Parr, sort of people like that.
Wow, those are some powerhouse vocals on all three.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So I roped Lewis into that, and he joined the sort of house band for that show, and so he was sort of introduced in a big way to the people of Sheffield. You know, there were like 3,000 people there at the show, and you know, I introduced him, and you know, they sort of took him to their heart straight away. And so he's been coming backwards and forwards, and we've been writing, collaborating, and performing the new songs. The album's finished; it's done, it's ready to go. And Building Avalon's the first single that's going out, certainly going out in Canada and on your side of the pond.
It's definitely you're getting a lot of radio play, so it's a lot of fun every time it comes on the radio. I spend a lot of time on the road. Every time it comes on the radio while I'm in the my little van driving down the road, I've got to crank the volume on it. It's just, I think, you know what, this is kind of strange, but seasonally speaking, I think the release of your song is very well timed, because we were sick of winter this year and we were tired of the I don't know. Winter was winter 2010, 2011 was a tough one, and we needed something that felt like life force and energy and that kind of spirit. And so I think the timing on that is impeccable. It's
you're right there. I mean, we did choose a song based on, you know, on the time of the year and you know, the things, the kind of things that people are doing at this time of the year. And yeah, you know, I feel the same. I mean, certainly, you know, England is a nightmare from sort of December, January, February, March. It's pretty grim as far as, you know, those grey, miserable days. And we don't have the extremes of weather that you do, but sometimes, you know, waking up every day to a grey sky and is not, you know, is not a good thing.
No.
So yeah, I think the timing was right for this song.
And I think the timing is right in the world for this song, too. It's the whole idea. I think we spend a lot of time thinking we're powerless. And I think I think we spend a lot of time thinking that we can't somehow move forward, that there's no point in having faith, that there's no, you know, that we're just kind of lowly whoever's. And it's so not the case. So
well, I think it's a theme. You do get to know more, you know, more about and listen to the album when you get a chance to listen to the album. That is it's a recurring theme throughout the album, actually, that people, you know, that you're not alone in the world, and you do have you have inner strength, but you know, you also have the people are in the same position as you. There's always somebody worse off than you, and you know, together, if people have that kind of attitude where they can help each other out, then, you know, that's a really powerful force. So that's, without, you know, I sound too pretentious, that is a sort of theme that runs through the album.
That translates onto your cover art, too. Is the one that's featured on your website, is that's the definite cover for Zebulon? With it reminded me of Atlas, actually. It's this man pushing a boulder, a massive boulder, up a hill, basically.
That's the official cover for Building Avalon. There's a different cover for the album Zebulon, which It's an absolutely fantastic picture. You can actually see it if you go onto the website and you go into the click on the news icon, and there's like a sort of sneak preview of the album cover, which is absolutely fantastic. It's by a Romanian artist who I managed to find on the internet and then contacted him to have permission to use the image, and it's just fantastic. I've sort of christened the guy in the picture Zebulon.
Oh, I have it here. I just found it. It's this dock. With a park bench, there's a person sitting on the end with a, it's really astounding, with an umbrella. That's a gorgeous shot. What an excellent,
it's a beautiful shot, isn't it? Yeah.
Wow. Well, great selection for your album, John. John, if you want to see more and learn more and hear more, John Reilly, JohnReilly.org. I'll be posting the links up on the Dishpan Hands.
Oh, good. I'm glad you spelled it out for people.
Just to make sure.
Do the R-I-L-E-Y thing.
Yeah, so, R-E-I-L-L-Y.org. Make sure to go and check it out. Now, are you up for the final four?
I'll try my best.
What would you say? Now, feel free if at any point you're like, no, we strike this one. What would you say, John Reilly, would be your greatest strength?
I think it's perhaps to get beneath people's skin in a positive way, and you know, I've found, luckily, in my songs, and certainly when people write to me, that I've been perhaps blessed, if that's the right word, with being able to get beneath people's skin and hopefully make people feel better and empowered. And if I can do that in a small way, that makes me feel very grateful for wherever it came from.
And that's good. And the beautiful thing about that is by creating that kind of impact on a person's life, it is inevitably it will come back to you. You know, that will come back in a there's a ripple effect in it. It'll come back.
Well, I believe.
So, what would you say would be your greatest weakness?
I would say I'm probably oversensitive. I'm not. You know, some people are really thick-skinned when it comes to criticism or personal slights, and I tend to take things to heart a little too much, I suppose. I wish I was a bit stronger that way. So I would say, I would say that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's and that's probably a really challenging part about being a performer, is that the need to perform, the want to perform, the energy to perform are all things that...
I don't have that need. I don't really have that need to perform. Sometimes I feel like I have to be pushed out onto the stage.
Really?
Although people don't perceive me that way.
No.
People perceive me as a natural performer, but I don't really feel the urge to get out there on stage. I had a gig, which is... Have you ever heard of the Royal Albert Hall in London?
Yeah, of course.
Ray Davis of the Kinks, his agent called me one night and said, can you play in York just one night, opening up for Ray Davis? And I obviously hadn't been playing too much just as a solo artist, so I said, well, yeah, great, I'll have a go. So I played, and then when I walked off, Ray Davis was in the wings and said, that was great. Could you do tomorrow in, I think it was in Birmingham or somewhere? And then, anyway, to make a long story short, they basically gave me the rest of the tour, except for the last gig, which was going to be at the Royal Albert Hall, because he gets his London friends up, like Paul Weller and whoever. Anyway, the day before, I get a call from them and say, no, they want you to open up at the Royal Albert Hall. So talking about not being, comfortable, I was standing on the side of the stage. It's the Albert Hall. It's totally sold out. The lights go down, I'm being introduced, and this old guy standing next to me, who's worked there forever, just pointed to the spotlight and said, see that spotlight? Barbra Streisand, Frank Sinatra, Bob Dylan. Enjoy yourself.
Oh my God. No pressure.
Yeah,
really?
No pressure. No.
What a masochist.
Walking out on that stage was a bit scary.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Wow. Okay, on a completely different note. the Albert Hall. Okay, I'm going to reel about that for some time now. But anyway, what would you say is your favorite candy?
My favorite candy is Cadbury's Dairy Milk.
Oh, good.
Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. Well, of course, yes, it does. And Cadbury is very popular here. Something that's very difficult to find in the U.S. if you can get it in the U.S. But in Canada, we're big Cadbury fans for sure. And Dairy Milk.
Something about it just brings me back to being a kid. Just that taste.
So, what would you say you'd like to be remembered for?
To think that my songs would be around when I'm gone, is a wonderful thing, and I'd like to be remembered as somebody who was a good songwriter. You know, that's all, and a good person, hopefully.
Well, I think you're already at least partway there.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, John.
Thank you, and we'll keep playing the track, and the more we get played, the faster I'll be over there.
You bet. Oh, man, and I can't wait. I want to be first in line for tickets.
Thank you very much.
JohnReilly.org, JohnReilly.org.